is called Kissing the Waves. And you can kind of see the theme of the service with the message and the music that we've had so far. But the title comes from a quote from a guy named Charles Spurgeon that said, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the Rock of Ages." And the Rock of Ages is a name for God. It's referenced in Scripture. It reinforces the fact that God is unmovable, that He is strong. He is our sanctuary. He's our security. Isaiah 26:4 says, it's there in your bulletin, "Trust the Lord forever, for the Lord our God is the rock eternal, the Rock of Ages." And so Spurgeon, in this quote, he's using this metaphor of a wave to help us understand the suffering and the hardships of life. And that when the waves come, we don't want to just get through it. That's how we sometimes talk. I'm going to endure. I'm going to persevere. But the Bible would teach us to kiss the wave, to embrace the wave, because God is doing something in us during the wave, during that time, that doesn't happen at other times in life. There are some things that God teaches us in the waves that we just don't do a very good job of learning, laying out by the pool, drinking an Arnold Palmer. And so when the waves come, we want to find a way to embrace them. In the waves, we will find and discover the power and presence of God in a deeper, more significant way. So Charles Spurgeon, the guy who gave us this quote, was a preacher in the 1850s, and he said to have preached an average of 13 times a week during his ministry time. He had 56 million sermons in 40 different languages published during his lifetime. He had incredible influence back in the 1850s, but he also had incredible suffering. He struggled with depression most of his life. Some of you know how debilitating that can feel, especially when it doesn't go away after a month or after a year. It's just this constant companion. And his wife, she was bedridden for about 25 years of their marriage. He faced incredible opposition for some of what he would preach because he spoke out strongly against American slavery, and he was persecuted as a result of that. So Spurgeon speaks a little bit about what it was like to experience the waves of this life. And here's how he puts it in his own words. He says this. He says, "I've been cast into waters to swim in, which, but for God's upholding hand, would have proved waters to drown in. I've endured tribulation from many flails, sharp bodily pain, succeeded mental depression, and accompanied both by bereavement and affliction in the person of one dear to me as life." He's speaking of his wife, Susanna. He says, "The waters rolled in continually." He describes wave upon wave. He said, "I do not mention this to exact sympathy, but simply to let the reader see that I am no dry land sailor. I have traversed those oceans. I know the roll of the billows and the rush of the winds." He said, "Never before were the promises of Jehovah so precious to me as at this hour. Some of them I never understood until now." He wrote that when he was 53 years old, and he would die 4 years later. So what he was saying is, he's saying, look, I'm no dry land sailor. I've experienced the waves of this world. I've experienced the waves of this life. And I can tell you that those waves have cast me upon the Rock of Ages. And for that, I am eternally grateful. That I have come to know the power and the presence of God in a way that I would not have otherwise. So just a couple of things we know about waves. We first know that waves will come. Suffering is inevitable. Jesus said in John 16 to his disciples, "In this world, you will have trouble. You can go to the beach, and for a few days, it might be relatively calm. But if you're in the water long enough, if you're out there long enough, you're going to experience some waves. And you should be ready for that." Peter, when he was writing to the Christians who were suffering and being persecuted for their faith, he talked to them about this because some of them were disillusioned with God because of the hardships of life. Things hadn't turned out the way they hoped, and they were starting to blame God for it. Because they thought, look, if God is on our side, if I'm on Team Jesus, then shouldn't the waters be a little bit more calm? And that's not how it was working out. So Peter, he's going to write to them, and he says to them in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it's there in your bulletin, he says, "Dear friends, Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. He said, don't act like just because you follow Jesus that you're somehow exempt from the suffering of this world. We have the Rock of Ages. We have a sanctuary in the storm. We have the promises of eternal life. But in this world, we will have trouble. Don't be surprised when it comes. Because if you're not expecting it, and if you're not ready for it, then when the waves come, they can be very devastating. I think there's a few reasons why we get caught off guard. One of the reasons is we just have these unrealistic expectations. We have our ideas of what life should look like, and then when you experience something other than that, maybe it's a health diagnosis that knocks your feet out from under you, or it's marriage challenges that you thought you somehow would not have to go through, that this was the way it was for everybody else, but it wasn't going to be that way for you. Or maybe it's unexpected expenses that come in wave after wave after wave, or parenting. Maybe it's not the smooth sailing you thought it would be. The way I hear it said to me sometimes is, look, I just never saw it coming. I never saw it coming, but the waves will come. So Peter writes to the Christians and he warns them, don't be surprised. Don't have these unrealistic expectations of life. Sometimes I think you see this really in young married couples because they're just kind of set up for this. Expectations get set really, really high. When I used to do more weddings and my wife and I would do premarital counseling with couples when we were younger, we get together with these couples who are getting ready to get married, and we would tell them, look, here's some challenges you're going to have in the first few years of marriage. You need to expect these. And they would look at us like, well, we were sweet, but we were idiots, right? They understood that other people had these challenges, but that wasn't going to be true for them. They were going to be fine. And then the wedding day comes and expectations get set even higher, and the bride comes down the aisle and no one's seen her for days. I mean, I don't know what she's been doing, but there's been a whole team of people working on her face for days. And they've spent a small fortune getting her ready for this moment. And then she comes down the aisle and the audience, they're all looking at her. And everyone in the audience is thinking the exact same thing. She's never, ever going to look this good again in her life. But the groom, he's up there with me, and I'm telling you, he's not thinking that. He's looking at me and he's thinking, every morning? Nope. Not every morning, bro. Not every morning. But his expectations are high. You fast forward about 6 months into the marriage, and she walks into the kitchen, and he's wearing like this stained V-neck T-shirt. And he has this odor about him, this distinct odor that she never noticed when they were dating. And he slurps his cereal so loud. And she's wearing this nightgown that's like the most modest thing you've ever seen. It's like if Little House on the Prairie started a line of sleepwear, that's where she would have ordered this thing from. And it kind of goes with the dried zit cream on her face. And they both have morning breath. And they start arguing about the fight from the night before over in-laws or money. And it's not that any of these waves are unusual. It's not that any of them in and of themselves are even that big. But when they come in and you don't expect them, they can kind of catch you off guard. I think another reason why we get caught off guard is what I would call unbiblical theology. See, some of us grew up being taught implicitly or perhaps even explicitly that if you follow Jesus, then life was going to be good and you're not going to have any problems and it's just going to be all winning all the time. And then when that doesn't happen, it's easy to find yourself disillusioned with your faith, disillusioned with God. 1 Peter 4:1 in your bulletin there gives us a theological basis for the waves that we face in life. It says, just as Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had, and you must be ready to suffer too. See, you follow a suffering Savior. Don't be surprised when you suffer as well. And that's just the way it is. We know the waves will come. The other thing we know is we know the waves will stop. They won't come forever. The day is soon coming when the waves will be no more. Peter says, don't be surprised when they come. He says in verse 13 of 1 Peter 4, he says, look, instead, be very glad. He said, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. He says, be very glad. Don't just endure the trials. He says, be glad for them, because these trials, they make you partners with Christ. These desperate moments, they connect you with Jesus in a way that you wouldn't be connected otherwise. They connect you with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory revealed to all the world. It's as if Peter is getting ready to get on, he sees us getting ready to get on a boat, and he says, hey, come here a minute. Come here, I want to tell you something. I need to tell you something really quick. You're getting ready to set sail on this journey. I just want you to know it's going to get a little bit rough out there. Like, the waters are going to get a little bit rough, and there's going to be a hurricane or two that you're going to have to go through while you're at sea. I just want to let you know that there's going to be a couple of rogue waves that just come out of nowhere. Just these huge waves that knock you flat, and you never saw them coming. And it's going to be scary. He said, just expect that to happen. But here's what he's saying, but it won't last forever. He says, really just a moment, and before you know it, you will arrive at the port of heaven, and the waters there are calm. So take some Dramamine. Hang in there. The waves are coming, but the waves will stop. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, the first part of that verse, it's there in your bulletin. It describes the throne room of heaven. And it says that before the throne, there is a sea of glass that is like crystal. I love that. There's no waves in heaven. No waves. I keep a running list that I update regularly when I counsel or try to help people or talk to different people of things that I know will no longer be in heaven, of waves that will no longer be there. Here's the most updated version of that list. In heaven, there will be no more cancer, no more divorce, no more rejection, no more loneliness, no more depression. No more casts. Casts. C-A-S-T-S. To be clear, I'm not saying cats. There may or may not be cats in heaven. I don't know. But casts, there will not be. There's no crutches. No wheelchairs. No more pacemakers. No more radiation or chemotherapy. No more suicide bombers or school shootings. No more anxiety medication. No more middle-of-the-night phone calls. No more crosses along the side of the road. No more child abuse, no more rape, no more breakups, no more coughs or colds, no more flu shots, no more acne, no more love handles, no more saddlebags, no more cottage cheese thighs, no more double chins, no more body odor, no more deodorant stains, no more shaving or waxing, no more yelling, no more fighting, no more traffic, no more road rage, no more addiction. No more drama, no more hormones, no more crash diets. Kind of goes along with that. No more Spanx, no more gossip, no more stubbed toes, no more embarrassing moments, no more concussions, no more doctors, no more needles, no more taxes, no more bills, no more mechanics, no more dentists, no more lawyers, no more plastic surgeons, no more politicians. No more political ads, no more elections, no more funeral homes, no more orphanages, no more nursing homes, no more waiting rooms, no more animal hospitals, no more treatment centers, no more courtrooms or divorce papers, no more pink slips or foreclosure notices, no more motionless ultrasounds or tiny caskets, no more tears, no more sorrow. The Bible says no more pain. No more waves. Revelation 21:5 says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. The waves will come, the waves will stop. And so we praise him in the waves. Probably the best way that we can praise him and give him glory in the waves is by the word of our testimony. So I've asked a friend of mine to come and share a little bit of his testimony, who knows what it's like to be tossed around in the waves of this world, who knows what it's like to see the waves come wave upon wave upon wave. So I'll introduce to you Andrew Niebergi.
Good morning. All of us have had waves hit us in our lives and stop us in our tracks. And maybe for a moment, they make us stop and evaluate life. May 30th, 1999, I literally hit a wave. I dove into Lake Shelbyville while running off the beach, and I planted my head into a sandbar, leaving me instantly paralyzed. And face down in the water, fighting to flip myself over, I couldn't hold my breath any longer, leaving me gasping for air, only to fill up my lungs with dirty lake water. Ultimately, I became unconscious, at the mercy of God to save me, have someone to save me. As you can guess, I was saved. But the waves were just beginning. The next 6 months in the ICU, I battled pneumonia, blood pressure issues due to being bedridden for a long period of time, and rapid muscle loss. The next year, I dealt with pressure sores, infections, and kidney stones. By the way, I know those are way worse than having a child, because you never hear anyone say, "Let's have another." I was sent up to Chicago to do rehab after my stint in the ICU. Rehab was not easy. Several hours of being stretched, worked out, and learning how to do activities that we take granted every day. John told me not to fall off the stage, so I gotta watch. One of the hardest parts was watching people get taken down by the wave, falling into a depression, not wanting to do rehab, or more or less just giving up on life. I watched this happen many times while up there. In the years since, I've been denied a job because of my disability. I had two very serious infections that caused sepsis and left me hospitalized for days, and then weeks of intravenous antibiotics. It's not how many waves hit us, but how we deal with them. See, I made a choice at age 16 while laying in that hospital bed about how I was going to deal with life moving forward. The choice was Jesus. I prayed many things, but mainly for three specific requests that I felt would help me live a fulfilling life. Stay competitive in sports. Find a career to be financially stable. Find a woman to love me for who I am, disability and all. See, I knew who Jesus was back when I was 16, but I didn't have a relationship with him like I do today. I love speaking to God, but what is even more amazing is when he speaks to me. I've recently been led to join Under His Wings healing ministry that we have right here at Lampstand every other Thursday in the small chapel. There for a while, I was the one being prayed for to be healed, but God had different plans for me. And he wants to work through me to heal others. God was pulling and pulling at me to be a part of this ministry, but I honestly didn't know how people would react to a physically broken person praying for them to be healed. I am so glad I was obedient, because trust me, awesome things are going on in this ministry, and it is growing me and stretching me in ways that I never expected. Now, I haven't given up on being healed because I have had visions. Visions of me standing. Standing in this very spot, sharing about the miracle. See, visions are promises. And I know God always keeps his promises. God speaks to me through visions. Some of the visions I've had have came true fairly quickly, such as asking for someone that has a hurt foot to be prayed for. Now all these visions are super cool, but the one that I'm most excited about is the vision where I saw the numbers of the marathon runner. Three, one, two was the number. And shortly I saw another number of 718 on a marathon runner. I didn't give much thought of the 718 right away because I was so focused on the 312. I did research on the internet and in the Bible. Nothing felt right until I told a group of friends about the 312. And my friend, Mr. Pat Corrigan, said, "That's Chicago's area code." I said, "Yeah, I saw that while I was doing research." And Pat said, "No, the Chicago Marathon. And you don't just sign up for that. You have to qualify." Anyone know where this is going yet? I went home, looked up the area code of the Chicago Marathon and where it was ran. 312 area code. Probably wondering about the 718. New York Marathon is ran in the 718 area code. How cool is that? I honestly don't know what this means. Am I going to run this one day? But I can tell you, I'm very anxious to find out. God has been so amazing through the journey and has answered so many prayers and brought so many awesome people in my life. Speaking of prayers, you're probably wondering about those three prayers that I prayed for in the ICU. You remember staying competitive in sports, finding a career job to keep me financially stable, and find a woman to love me who I am. Well, I played in the National Wheelchair Pool Tournament in Las Vegas multiple times. Placed in second twice. Won fifth place finish and a few top 10 finishes. I've had a chance to harvest some mini trophy animals, such as deer, boar, ram, and turkey. I have had the In 2005, I was offered a job at Ameren. I have been promoted 3 times in 14 years and just recently got promoted to a supervisor position. Around 2007-ish, I started dating a God-loving woman that I am happy to say has been putting up with my horrible humor for 10 years now. God blew my prayers out of the water and still continues to do so. So no matter how many waves hit you, don't fall for the devil. Make those waves strengthen your walk with Jesus. When the waves come to knock us down, you have a choice. We can roll with the punches and get taken under, or you can reach out for the life raft of Jesus. There are so many more instances in my life that have been tough waves, but with God, I have been able to adapt to them all and continue to roll through through this life with him by my side until one day I am standing with him. Thank you.
So maybe, church, we could learn to kiss the waves that throw us against the rock of ages. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now, Lord, and we're just grateful that you are the rock that we can depend on, that you are our fortress, our sanctuary, our security, and that no matter what tosses us around in this life, if we choose to let it, it can toss us right into you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.